A passage of scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 12. I want you to notice with me, if you would, please, this passage of scripture that was given to Israel in a time of transition and expected change. I want you to notice with me that while it was not always a smooth situation, there is something that was given that was always the same, and that's the Word of the Lord. I want you to read with me, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 12. Begin reading with me at verse 20 and read through the remaining five verses of the chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Samuel said to the people, "Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." This reads 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 20 through 25. Now, the background of this passage of Scripture was a rather tumultuous time. A time when a change was demanded. A time when a change was demanded that was not what God wanted. Israel had decided they needed a king, and they needed one to be like everybody else. Samuel, for a period of some 20 years or so, had been the judge and the prophet. And he had been the bringer of God's Word to the people of Israel. And God had been the one who ruled over them. They began to ask for a king. "We're going to have a transition. We're going to change. We're not going to do it like we've been doing it. We're going to do it differently." Now, God reminded Israel that, or God reminded Samuel that Israel wasn't rebelling against him. Israel was rebelling against God Himself. Now, I understand that the circumstances are a little different. And I'm not saying today, as I bring this message to you, that you've got a rebellious heart or rebellious spirit or anything. But you face a time of transition. A time of change will be before us. We don't know how much change. It might be political change. It might be more social change. It might be this, that, or the other. But it's obvious that there is a tumultuousness around us in the air and in the land. I want you to notice Samuel's words as he spoke to Israel. Now, if you begin, and you'll notice at the very beginning, he said, "For ye have done all this wickedness." Samuel knew he was not talking to a perfect group of people. Now, I love you a bunch, but I think all of us would honestly say that there's not anybody here today that qualifies as perfect people. If you are, then you can't have much to do with me, because that will ruin your perfection. Because I'm certainly not. He understood that what they had been doing, that they had had thoughts and desires in their lives that were not what God wanted them to have. But what the first thing that He gives to them, and the first thing that I would give to you today, is the encouragement that He says, fear not. You've done all of this, but fear not. We're all sinful people. We make wrong choices sometimes. We look at circumstances and we decide that, oh, this would be just the answer, when God knows, no, it wouldn't. We can go to the fact that we've all done things in our past. I was looking at a little thing on the computer yesterday morning, I think it was, but it was a group of us older folks. People were reminiscing and they said, you know, we've done all of our foolish things. And they were all laughing. Said, but it was before the internet and nobody else knew about it. Well, guess what? God knew. We didn't hide anything from Him. And yet the whole point of His encouragement is that no matter what mistakes we have made, no matter what choices we have made, that God is a merciful God, that God is a God who is great in His forgiveness. He said unto the people, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 86. I'll begin reading at verse 5. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Now I want you to notice, even for our nation, even for us individually, for our homes, for our churches, wherever we have made our choices, God is plenteous in mercy to forgive those that call upon Him. There is a requirement for our forgiveness. There is a requirement of repentance. We can't demand God forgive us and then go on continuing in our willful ways. But when we call upon Him, Thou art plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. How many of you have ever picked up the phone trying to get in touch with somebody and dial a number and thought, boy, I hope they're home. I hope I can get in touch with them. I hope I have the right number. I hope they're not too busy. You know, the psalmist's assurance was, I will call because Thou will answer. And his petition was based upon God's promise that He would answer us. Among the gods, there is none like unto Thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto Thy works. All nations whom Thou hast made shall come and worship before Thee, O Lord, and shall glorify Thy name. For Thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name. I will praise Thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forever. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen up against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Men have done this, but you, Lord, are this way. Men have been violent toward me, and men have sought after me. Men have made this mistake. I have done things, but you, Lord, are full of graciousness and mercy. You see, folks, at the very beginning of Samuel's call to the people, in a time when they wanted a change that God told them wasn't going to be good for them. But they didn't listen. They wanted this change and they wanted that change in a time of any change. First thing he said, fear not. Second thing he said, for the Lord forgives us. And the third thing he goes on to say is, turn not aside from following the Lord. You see, that's the thing here. The Lord is gracious and merciful and plenteous in mercy. But turn not aside from following the Lord. When change comes in the world around us, when change comes in our circumstances, when change comes in society that would seem to be unclear and unsure, there's one thing. Turn not aside from following the Lord. Now, that's not just theological, airy speech. That affects the very basic things in our life. If you look in Matthew chapter 6, you'll find there that Jesus is talking to His disciples. He says, beginning in verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Don't let monetary measurement and monetary possessions, monetary valued possessions, become the thing that you seek to lay up above all else." Why? Because they're going to moth and rust will corrupt and thieves will break through and steal. It's not going to last forever. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm going to have a great wealth when I get to heaven." You will, but it won't be because of anything you're amassing. "Well, I got to lay up track." Yeah, but you understand the whole concept of this is the idea of the value that you place on life. The kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, and God's way is more valuable than anything that this earth can afford. "Well, I got to lay up treasure." You've already got treasures in heaven. Because everything, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and everything that belongs to Him in heaven's glory world will be yours because you will be there in Him and with Him. The only thing that will not be yours is the place of worship that will belong to Him alone. But He says, my eyes cannot see, my mind cannot conceive, my heart can't begin to see the things that God has prepared. He's already got more there than I could ever put there. Well, what am I doing? I'm laying up the value in my mind of God's way. I put my trust in Him. I put my expectation in Him. I put my desire in Him. I'm willing to lay down everything on this earth to follow Him. I make my choices in light of His way. And you see, folks, that's where the daily decisions that we make come into play. Turn ye not aside from following the Lord. If we turn our minds to begin desiring the things of the world, then we will desire to follow Him. He goes on to say, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have a divided attention. What was it that Jesus said was the first and the great commandment? He told the Pharisees, the first commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with half your time and part of your energy, and He'll take whatever you give Him. No. What He said was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. You see, the service of the Lord is an all-consuming life. Well, that means I can't have any fun in life. What it means is God knows what's best for you, and what He gives you will be better than anything else you'll have in life anyway. You can't divide yourself. That's why, if you go back to what He said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, He said, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Well, what if I do turn aside? If I turn aside, I've got one way to go. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things. If you turn away from the Lord's way, if you turn aside from God's direction, if you turn aside from God's instruction, no matter what changes may go on in the world around you, your strength is to turn not aside, because when you step away from the Lord's way, you've got one way to go, and that's down, backwards, sliding, whatever phrase you want to use. Because God's way is the best way, and when you step aside from it, you're going after something that's empty and worthless to begin with. God's way is the way there's profit. To turn away from the Lord, there is no profit in it. There is no benefit in it. You see, folks, I hear people today say, those Christians, that was way back out. God doesn't change. I am the Lord, I change not. Well, His way is the same today as it was then. And it doesn't matter who the pastor of the church is, or who the president of the country is, or who the leader of this organization or that organization, God hasn't changed. And so the prophet says, turn ye not aside. And I would tell you today, brothers and sisters, with all the changes that's going on in the world, the admonition that we need to have, and that which we need to hold on to in our lives, is that we not turn aside from what the Lord has said that we're to do. That's true in the church. That's true in our families. That's true in our businesses. That's true in our ethical behavior and our communities. That's true in our treatment of other people. When we turn aside from what the Lord has said we're to do, we're going after unprofitable things, vain things. Now I want you to notice something. Samuel wasn't standing there pointing his finger at those folks and says, now if you do that, Samuel understood that it was true for him as well. He goes on to say, you'll look down about halfway down in that passage, you'll see where Samuel says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord." And notice he didn't say, "God forbid that I should sin against you." He understood the higher pointing of things. "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the right way." You see, brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any difference who's the pastor, where the pastor is, where the pastor goes, what the nation is at. We're not to cease to pray for one another. I'm not to cease to pray for you. You're not to cease to pray for me. You're not to cease to pray for each other. It is a consciousness of God, the need of God's blessings on one another, and the value that we give to one another, that we not devalue what God has valued in the blood of His Son. If I cease to pray for you, then I have lost sight of the value that God placed upon you, because He bought you. We sang the song, "Blessed Redeemer." He walked up Calvary's mountain to die for our sins. And if He died for you, then for me to turn aside from praying for you is to devalue what He valued. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all of your heart. Why? Look at what he says in verse 22. "Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people." Why are you God's child? "Well, I made this choice right..." No, you didn't. It pleased the Lord to make you His people. He made choice of us. "Well, I followed Him." Yeah, you did, and you should. And if you haven't yet, you need to start. But if you do, it's with the understanding that He has called you and made you His child by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. "For it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him with all your heart. Consider how great things He hath done for you." I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you get to thinking about that, if you spend some time thinking about that, you're not going to be near as bored with life as some people seem to become. When you begin to think of how great things God has done for us, then you're never going to run out of a list to go back to think about. He has done great things, expansive things, valuable things, unimaginable things for the human imagination. The treasure that He's given us is an eternal treasure. It can't be counted, it can't be measured, and it can't be limited. Now, if God has done such great things for us, well, you see, first of all, He forgave us in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the starting place. Without that, we would have nothing in a relationship with Him. We didn't deserve it, but He forgave us in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He called us and said, "Come unto Me." And He prepared a place where we can enter in with boldness and certainty of faith. And He gave us faith. I didn't have to manufacture it. "For by grace are you saved through faith." That's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. And if He's done all these things for me, then we come back to the same admonition that Samuel gave Israel. Turn not aside from following the Lord. Turn not aside from His Word. Turn not aside from the assembling of yourselves together. Turn not aside from the worship of His glory. Turn not aside from your anticipation of the fulfillment of every promise that He makes. Turn ye not aside from following the Lord. Other things may change. God doesn't. So stand where He stands. Take your cross and follow Him. Turn not aside from where He's put you. Serve the Lord with all your heart, for He has done great things for you. Will you pray with me once more? Father in heaven, our words are so frail to even begin to describe what You have done for us. You have given us a salvation from which no man can take us. No man can take us from Your hands. Neither powers in heaven or in earth can break the bond of grace that You have wrapped around us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that because of the great things that You have done, we might fear not in this world. We might fear not when unexpected changes would come. But in every step of our lives, we seek to be sure we stand where You are. That we seek to follow You without turning aside. When we've made mistakes, we can call unto You for forgiveness. Your Word will help us to know the mistakes that we have made. Help us to humble ourselves when we do. But help us to know, Father, that our certainty is based that You will hear when we call. You will forgive in mercy. You will hold us in Your grace. Help us not to turn aside as Your church in the earth, as Your people, as we walk in this world, as a testimony of Your holiness and righteousness and of Your great love. We ask it for Christ's sake. And amen.